If you have an entertaining radio show, you have an entertaining podcast, it's just about trying to find that middle ground between the less buttoned up nature of podcasting and the more buttoned up nature of radio. And we don't hit that middle ground perfectly every single time, but it's a learning process. And every single day trying to be like, man, we got to have more fun. Or, yeah. Hey, we're having too much fun today. We got to get down to business. Trying to thread the needle, if you will. Podcasting is just as big, if not bigger, than radio. And whenever you go out and talk to advertisers, less or fewer and fewer advertisers are caring about what were your ratings last fall and more, hey, give me a rundown of your numbers last fall. You can export that onto a spreadsheet and we can have your numbers for every single show, every single segment last fall. We want to see that before we advertise with you. So as you move into the modern era, the podcasting side's important, and it's the podcasting side that technically employs me.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Great to be with you on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by...
Elijah Herbel is, I don't know, I don't want to disappoint my friend Chris Schmidty, but I don't know if he can do this show without him, and we're going to find out how he does it. Elijah Herbel is a producer and on-air talent for Her Dad. His job is to help make Chris Schmidt awesome 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, and he's here to chat a little bit with us about that. Elijah, thanks.
Well, it's funny because how you said it is actually how I kind of view my own job description. Getting to work with a guy like Schmidty, like my job, showed up to work. Obviously, you gotta run the show. You gotta be on the air. But I feel like the heart of my job is to try to bring the best out of him. Like, he's the guy who's been doing it for 20, 25 years. He's been around the block. He knows what he's talking about. Like, I try to go in and take stress off of him, give him less to do, allow him to be the best he can be on the air. Because if he can be the best of himself on the air, I think it allows me to more naturally be the best of myself, and it leads to a better show. So it's funny. You kind of actually said what I feel like my own job description actually is, in between the lines.
So give me an idea, if you can pinpoint it, when maybe that light bulb went on over your head and said, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Did that dawn on you at some point? Do you remember when and how?
It was kind of early on. So to lay it out, my job was kind of a rotating cast of characters before I showed up. It was Schmidty essentially going to the College of Journalism, Mass Communication, and saying, hey, I need somebody to come in and produce and co-host my radio show with me. Number one job is a producer. Number two is a co-host. And when he went back through and kind of talked about some of his former producers, I learned that the ones that he liked and he thought were the best were the ones that allowed him to have the most stress-free day, if that kind of makes sense to you. Like, the ones that he went, I guess maybe didn't have the fondest memories of, which he had fond memories of all of them, but the ones he really remembered are the ones that I guess made him feel less stressed. And then all the stories of this happened to this producer, they all centered around Schmidty being a little bit stressed. So I kind of went, you know what? I want Schmidty to like you, make sure he's not stressed out when he's on the air. And I kind of took that in stride when it started out, and look at me now, 5 years later, still working with him.
Well, just so everybody understands this, Schmidty also does 3 hours of radio in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m., and it's news radio, and then he puts his sports hat on and does sports in the afternoon. So how do you reduce that stress?
It's a loaded question. It kind of depends on the day, and that's radio for you. Radio is going to be different for you on a day-to-day basis, but generally speaking, I feel like for me, that's making sure I'm really on top of my preparation every single day, making sure that, hey, I've read articles, and we're a Husker football show at its heart. We'll talk about some more stuff, but at its heart, our show is, we're talking Husker football. And for me, everyone needs to read the Husker news of the day, if you will. But for me, it's diving a little bit deeper, trying to find other angles to different stories in sports and trying to angle it back to Nebraska. That's, I mean, essentially what I spend my morning doing is I'm listening to podcasts. I'm reading news stories. I'm trying to find angles for our show, discussion points we can hit that other people in our market aren't hitting. So that's kind of first and foremost. And as we get closer to the show, I'm going to try to cut up Nebraska football press conferences. I'm going to make sure that once we get into the show, he's not worried about what's going on with our commercial breaks, what's going on with our production, anything with that. We're doing a remote show. It's just, he needs to focus on the notes in front of him and the talking he needs to do. And I'm going to worry about everything else behind the scenes. That's kind of how I see it on a day-to-day basis, because if he's not worrying about that other stuff, he's at his best.
So we're recording this at sort of midday on May 2nd, 2024. I know you've got an idea of what's going on at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of some of the stuff you're going to do today?
It's funny because we do have to play it by ear a little bit with the afternoon, just because the amount of times we've had breaking news in at 3-4 o'clock is wild. But the obvious big story for us was Husker baseball last night. Jackson Brockett pitched a no-hitter, the first one since 1954. We're going to hit that heavy. We're going to hit that hard. It's been disappointing for Husker baseball recently in midweek. And the question that you kind of have is, was this a flash in the pan? Was this a guy that just had his stuff for the night and looked really good? Or is this sign of encouragement moving forward? I know Nebraska's only got, I think, one midweek game left on the season. They have a couple weekend series. So is it too little too late in that regard? Nebraska seems to be on track to make the NCAA tournament, but is this a sign for the future that, hey, maybe Nebraska has another guy in the bullpen? Hey, maybe Nebraska's getting it back on track? Or again, as I said, is it flash in the pan? That's going to be a big story today.
First and foremost, what a performance last night on the diamond by Jackson Brockett. First no-hitter for Nebraska since 1954. Let's just be excited, if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, that they got a midweek win against a team that is on that NCAA bubble. You get a win over a team from a Power 5 league in Kansas State. That's important. But the manner in which you did it, the way you bounced back, perfection, not quite. You had a couple of walks and an error. But my, oh my, this is a shot in the arm.
When it comes to Husker football, we're still less than a week out from the spring game. It's more spring game thoughts. I think we want to continue a bit of a discussion we had yesterday about the Husker defense and just ask, what is the ceiling of the Husker defense? So that's kind of the general thought we have for the show today. But again, still 4.5 hours out from the show starting, a lot of news can break. And I particularly look at the NCAA and their work trying to get revenue sharing. That leaking out earlier this week makes me think it may be closer to the finish line than we all think. I'm not expecting it to be done today, but we could get more news out of that today. So you kind of have to be ready for stuff like that as well.
Okay, I'm going to hit all those points separately here in a second. The no-hitter in baseball, I mean, isn't that why we're in sports? Isn't that why we love sports? Because you wake up one day or you have the TV on one night and it's, oh my God, this guy is pitching a no-hitter, and then he pitches a no-hitter. It's one of the reasons why we do this, I think.
Well, it's funny because last night I'm doing the show and we finish up and we have a quick meeting at the radio station trying to lay out the Lincoln Salt Dogs, their schedule this season. We're making sure we have producers in order. The radio broadcast is going to be tip top. We're doing that. I'm refreshing some of the guys that haven't been in there in a little bit on the soundboard, making sure they're all good with it. And then I got to turn right back around and go, okay, now it's back to my Hail Varsity work to finish that up. I wonder how the Husker baseball game's going. I've been able to check on it. And I go, Jackson Brockett's got a no-hitter going through 7. What is going on? Like, after all the midweek struggles, I was expecting to check the score and see they're down 6-2 and they're trying to mount a late comeback. But no, they're up big and Jackson Brockett's throwing a no-hitter and essentially, what the hell's going on?
Elijah, you can really use this situation as a springboard, because it was tough. You'd just come off the sweep of Creighton. How are you going to respond if you're Nebraska baseball Offense did so, defense did so, but a homegrown talent in Jackson Brockett responded big time for you with a monumental and history-making performance.
Well, I was here. We were laying out some preseason important things for the Salt Dogs immediately following the show yesterday. Salt Dogs going to be playing here locally in just a couple of weeks. Our friend Connor Clark, obviously, going to be doing the play-by-play. So we're going through that meeting. We wrap up the meeting. I'm like, oh, better check and see what's going on in Husker baseball. And I believe you and I had the exact same reaction because I called you after
Holy
the game
bleep.
Ended. Yeah, it was a what the hell reaction. The hell is going on at Haymarket Park right now? Jackson Brockett's a guy that threw five total innings all year long. I think it was five and a third all year long in six appearances. I mean, we were excited about him preseason, but it kind of became clear as the year went on, okay, this isn't an arm that they feel they can trust. Limited appearances, as you said, not even on the travel roster. Let's give him a shot midweek. And what the hell is going on at Haymarket Park?
So you mentioned football and you're still talking about, let's see, they played last Saturday. So you're still talking about the spring game. I know this is a football show and I know it's called Hail Varsity, but really you mentioned how you have to get something, some new angle, some new kind of a fresh look at what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing this. What is fresh? What is the new look? And how do you meet that challenge?
To me, I like to go around and listen to some of the other schools, what they're talking about following the spring game. There's a national guy I really love. I'll name drop Josh Pate. He does the late kick. I love going in and listening to him because he truly feels to me to be an unbiased source in college football. And with all the affiliations that guys have nationally, you'll sometimes hear some partiality. I mean, the number one guy people think of, I think it's a little bit misplaced, but the national perception with a guy like Paul Feinbaum is he's got SEC bias. He thinks the SEC is the greatest thing in the world. You flip it around, guy in Kirk Herbstreit, man, he's got Ohio State bias. People around here think, oh, he doesn't like Nebraska. Like, there's all these different guys that have their angles. I like Josh Pate. I think he's pretty unbiased, but it's going around and listening to other spring practices and, hey, what are the reports from the other Big Ten schools right now? I mean, you see Iowa fans hop on Twitter and say, Dylan Raiola's performance wasn't that great. Well, what are they saying at Iowa's spring practices right now? Then you look around some of the teams that have been the standard in the Big Ten. What's the news coming out of Ohio State? What's the news coming out of Penn State? And how does Nebraska fit into that greater narrative? Which is an interesting discussion you have to have because, like, at the end of the day, it's spring practice. And did what we see in a spring game actually mean anything for the season? Maybe, maybe not. Like, last year, you look at eight fumbles in the spring game, and you have to sit back and go, well, they can't have that many fumbles once the season starts, right? It's a new coach coming and trying to learn a new offense. Things are a little bit sloppy. And then you fast forward to fall, and oh, guess what? Fumbling is a problem. So you have to kind of pick through and choose and say, yeah, Dylan Raiola had a great day. A lot of defensive players weren't playing. What does that mean for the defense? What does that mean for Raiola? Trusting the eyes, trusting the stats. Spring football is always a really interesting discussion because at the end of the day, you don't know what's real and what's the coaching staff holding back. What's the coaching staff trying to show something in a spring game? So UTEP or Colorado down the road is game planning for that. And oh, they're wrong. They're not actually running that. There's so much you have to sift through during spring practice that there's always kind of talking points in terms of what's real and what isn't and what's going on in the grander Big Ten.
They honestly could have done everybody a favor and said, you know, nothing's going to happen in the second half here today of this spring game. You all can go on with the rest of your day. That's fine. All the action was in the first half mostly. Why don't you guys go off and do something else? But yeah, Elijah Herbal is a producer and on-air talent. We'll say for Hail Varsity Radio, works for her dad, does some other things at the group there. I was going to say KFOR, but how do we describe which is which there?
It's complicated because Hail Varsity Radio, and this is the modern era of mass media, if you will. Hail Varsity Radio is a daily radio show that runs from 4 to 6, which the parent station, it originates from KFOR here in Lincoln, 1240 AM, 101.5 FM. So that's where I go to work every single day. They don't technically employ me for Hail Varsity Radio. I still do some work around there, clock myself in and do work where I can because it makes sense. I like the radio game. But Herd At Media owns the rights to Hail Varsity Radio, and they also own all the podcasting to Hail Varsity Radio. And as we move into the new era, I mean, podcasting is just as big, if not bigger, than radio. And whenever you go out and talk to advertisers, less or fewer and fewer advertisers are caring about what were your ratings last fall and more, hey, give me a rundown of your numbers last fall. You can export that onto a spreadsheet, and we can have your numbers for every single show, every single segment last fall. We want to see that before we advertise with you. So as you move into the modern era, the podcasting side's important, and it's the podcasting side that technically employs me.
And what you're saying about numbers is, how many hits did you get? How many downloads on your podcast? How long did they listen? You can do all of that. Did they stay with you the whole time? Were they with you 20 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever? That's what you're talking about.
And in combination, it's how many people are listening in truly podcast form, where it's just the audio. How many people are hopping on YouTube and watching along? Because anything can be sold. You want a banner on our web stream online? We can sell you a banner on our web stream online. You want this segment to be brought to you by your business? It can be brought to you by your business. Mm-hmm. We can put a social media read up there for you. Everything is sellable in radio and in podcasting to kind of combine the two. Everything is sellable. And it's the podcasting numbers recently that have really, really taken off in terms of businesses want to see that. Yeah, they're interested in the book. Maybe they have heard you on the radio before. But the podcasting numbers are what they really, really want to see.
And so how have you learned all of this new, it's not really new, but maybe to you, but how have you learned the new template, the new paradigm for this business?
Well, first off, you got to give credit to the College of Journalism, Mass Communication, because I know you worked there. I know I was your student a couple of years ago, but you really have to do credit just in terms of at the College of Journalism, you can really do everything. And in my opinion, you really should do everything. You have an opportunity to do everything. I never wanted to say no to an opportunity in college. So it gave me a wide range of things. Like whenever I entered college, I didn't think radio was what I wanted to go into. I thought I wanted to go into video production. I wanted to be the next great videographer. And I started doing that with my work at Husker Vision. And I went, man, I enjoyed this as a passion project, but when it's a job, it's less fun. I don't like sitting at Memorial Stadium until 11 p.m. ingesting footage and naming footage, and I'm not even going to edit it. Someone else is going to edit it. I'm just naming it for them, and it's taken me hours. Whatever became a job, that became less fun. And I got this opportunity first through 90.3 KRNU, and then later with the radio station to try out talk radio, and kind of fell in love with it. And it went back to, I guess, my original dream in broadcasting, and it kind of reawakened in me. But to answer your question, like, the College of Journalism wants you to do everything, because in the modern era of mass communication, you need to do everything. So did it explicitly prepare me for the changing radio? No, because as radio changes, you aren't quite sure what to expect. But just that general education of knowing how to do everything really set me up for success, because every single day, hey, I'm editing audio, but I'm also editing video, and I'm doing a live stream with audio and video where I'm working on that behind the scenes. Like the role of what a producer and on-air talent in radio has just expanded. And as you learn on a day-to-day basis what that changing world looks like, it's important to have that base of knowledge and everything in mass media so you can adapt to it. Like, I was an ad PR major as well, so I know the sales side of things and what advertisers are looking for a little bit too. Just that general wide knowledge allows you to be a little bit more successful and allows you to be ready for this industry as it changes, because it's always changing.
And so it is your job to make sure that it's in podcast form, that it, mm-hmm. that the video is working, and that you have clips and you pull out a piece of it and put it on social media. You do all of that yourself.
That's all me. Yeah.
That's
so
all you.
I like it better that way.
That's a lot of time consumption.
Yeah. So our show ends at 6 every single evening, and getting the podcast up and segmenting it out and turning it into a video feed where we cut out the commercial breaks and clips and social media work. And then sometimes scheduling guests. Like, I'm usually there. I mean, the radio show's from 4 to 6, and I'm usually there until 8:30 every single night, making sure that's all cleaned up. And Schmitty gets to go home. He's got to get ready for his morning radio show. So that's just me sitting in the studio. Yeah. Almost everyone else in the radio station has gone home. It's just me sitting there in a dark radio station, getting all that work done. And that's how I prefer it. I like having the control over things like that. That's not a hard and fast standard in radio right now. I think we're moving towards that direction of all radio shows being a little bit more autonomous with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally enjoy it that way. It gives me a lot more control over a product that I feel, I mean, I know I don't technically have the rights to it, but I'm on the show every single day. I feel it's mine. It's my baby, me and Schmitty's, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I like having more control over it in that way.
So radio and podcasting are like cousins. And in some people like Joe Rogan, they're like identical twins. Joe Rogan does a radio show forever and ever with the language that other people would like to use on radio shows. But he calls it a podcast, right? It's not delivered that way. How do you then try to make sure that the podcast product you're doing is distinctly or discreetly a podcast sound or a podcast feel when indeed some of it is actually what you've done on the radio?
To me, it comes down to your subject matter. Like, as you look back through this kind of transition that we've been seeing from radio and podcasting kind of becoming one and the same, like you look back to Howard Stern and his shock talk radio, if you will, where it's less buttoned up. They're going to talk about the things that you weren't able to talk about in radio before. And what does Howard Stern do? He goes to the top of radio. And then you look even more recently with like the Barstool Sports influence over the sports media market, where they're kind of doing the same thing. They're in podcast form because they're saying the things, they're making the jokes that you can't make in radio. And you have to be able to ride that line, but it's about taking a radio show. And while it still has that buttoned up feel and we're still hitting our commercial breaks, to be able to have a little bit more fun of a feel with it. Like the way it's, you kind of hear it in the radio industry now is you want to sound like a radio show is sitting around at a bar with your buddies talking sports. Like that's kind of what a lot of people in sports radio are going for now, is that less buttoned up feel, that feel of these guys are your friends and these guys are talking about whatever they're talking about, and they're not cleaning it up for radio. And while you do have to clean it up for radio, obviously, and keep it somewhat buttoned up for on the air, it's just that transition of, hey, even people that listen on the radio like that feel that there is in sports media right now, especially in the podcasting side of, this isn't all that buttoned up. These guys are having more fun. These guys are talking about the things that 20 years ago in radio, they weren't allowed to talk about. You have to ride that line of not getting FCC complaints while still being able to have fun. And it's, to me, I've found as the years going on, it's about being myself on the radio, and the podcast it'll follow. If you have an entertaining radio show, you have an entertaining podcast, it's just about trying to find that middle ground between the less buttoned up nature of podcasting and the more buttoned up nature of radio. And we don't hit that middle ground perfectly every single time. But it's a learning process, and every single day trying to be like, man, we got to have more fun. Or, hey, we're having too much fun today. We got to get down to business. Trying to thread the needle, if you will.
Elijah Herbal is the producer and co-host of Hail Varsity Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, comes out of Lincoln, but you're still on a few other stations around the state. Is that correct?
Yes. So we're on ESPN 590 in Omaha. Mm-hmm. We're on News Talk 900 in Columbus, and then we're on the Superstation out in Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island. They have a couple different signals. 1440 is the one I think is the biggest one. So Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, Columbus, Omaha, Lincoln, and we'll see, maybe a little further west someday as well. We used to be out in Scotts Bluff. That has since dropped, but we'd always like to make a comeback out there. But yeah, you can hear us most of the state.
There you go. Well, that's good. So that's 4 to 6 Central Time, 5 days a week. Are you involved in the Saturday morning thing that Schmitty does?
Yes,
as well?
I am. That is one of the most fun shows of the week. Saturday morning used to be on the air here in Lincoln. KFOR made a format switch where it went from, we used to have the dedicated sports talk and the dedicated news talk. We merged it into one, and it didn't leave much room for us on a Saturday morning outside of football season. So this was about a year and a half ago. We said, what's the Saturday morning show going to look like? And it has just turned into the absolute most fun show of the week. You got to get in there at 7:30 on the weekends, which sometimes on Saturday morning, that's an early wake up call, but we get on there and no commercials. That one we can be fully podcast. We don't have to be as buttoned up for radio. We can have a little bit more fun. There's no hard breaks. We can go as long as we want.
So that goes direct to podcast.
Yeah, we have the live stream that we do on mm-hmm. YouTube. And yeah. then after the show, it's directly to podcast. It never sees the light of day on radio. And we had some doubts about that, but it's kind of what I was talking about earlier, where you have the podcasting side and the radio side, and it's fun to be able to one show a week. We can just go fully podcast. We're not cussing up a storm. We're not cussing
Oh, come on.
There,
come on. It's not saucy. No?
No. We don't go that far, but we can have a little bit more fun with it. We can have a little bit more of a quote-unquote bar talk, if you will. Mm-hmm. Just keep it really loose. And that show has turned really, really fun, and we've had good listenership on that show as well. So that one's been an interesting adventure in the modern era of radio, getting off the air and getting on the podcast side of things, but I've just loved it.
So are there any other sort of podcast only or a podcast original things you guys do that you don't take a segment? Let's say you do Gary Barnett regularly, right? And you do Charlie McBride regularly, right? You do that and you make those segments into something that you post. Are there other interviews, podcasts, anything special you do outside of live radio besides that Saturday morning show?
Typically it's interviews, and it's on days where breaking news happens. There's occasional times where we'll do little podcast exclusive segments. Say we're taking a vacation day on a Thursday or a half day, and we're going to have a best of show running over the air, but there's news we want to talk about. You have to have that best of show ready to go by that morning. And then breaking news happens at 10 a.m. Let's hop on. Let's do a little podcast segment. Let's talk about it for 15 minutes. We can post it up. Other than that, sometimes we'll have some pre-recorded interviews that are ready to go, and then breaking news happens, and that interview either becomes slightly irrelevant or we just don't have room in the show anymore, and maybe we'll play it later in the week, but this is pretty relevant now. We get it up in podcast form for podcast exclusives. It's a week-by-week basis. We tend to have more podcast exclusive segments during football season, but we've been playing around with the idea of it. You sometimes get people back that listen in podcast form and say, why didn't I hear that on the radio yesterday? So we try to get all of the content that we can squeezed into the radio show, but sometimes there's just more content than we have 2 hours of radio time. So put it up in podcast form and people love it.
And then you guys are working on this little Average Joe radio show podcast you do, Dolman and Sherman and you two guys. Is that it?
That's been an exciting adventure. We also have the Triple Play podcast with Jabba Chamberlain, where Schmitty, myself, and Jabba talk some baseball, which that's usually a weekly or once every 2 weeks type podcast to talk about baseball. We obviously have one coming here. We're recording tomorrow morning following Jackson Brockett's no-hitter, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the weekend series. But we have that, and then we also have, as you said, the Average Joe Sports Show, which has been really fun. It was an old show back on KFOR way back when. Bill Dolman hosted it. Schmitty did my job for that show back in the day. And Bill went off and did amazing things with the Olympics, with the Houston Rockets, with the Mountain West. And he made his way back to Lincoln. You work with him now at the College of Journalism Mass Communication. And he kind of wanted back in to have a show that was his own. Schmitty wanted to work with him again. And I guess what I am to Schmitty, Schmitty was to Dolman back in the day. So to get all of us together on a show has been fun. Mitch Sherman on this show, he joined us. He actually recently just stepped aside for a new opportunity, and we added Gary Sharp to the show, who was also an original voice on the Average Joe Sports Show way back in the day.
Holy cow.
So that's been fun to be able to learn from some of the best in the business, which I don't consider myself anywhere close, but I talked to guys in Gary and Bill and Schmitty and Mitch Sherman on the journalism side of things that really are at the top of the game. And the amount of things I've been able to learn from that show has just been incredible. It kind of takes me back to the original point of go do everything, go learn everything you can. It doesn't stop whenever you're done with college. So I like to learn every single week when I go talk to those guys.
It's Chris Schmidt with the Average Joe Sports Show. Recruiting talk here on the way.
And we'll talk about the real black shirts, Colorado and Nebraska.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill Dolman. The Nebraska baseball team avoids midweek follies. They're carrying some momentum into Michigan State.
It's Elijah Herbal here. We also have some preseason win totals from Circus Sports for Big Ten schools. We'll get into those. Where does Nebraska rank?
Welcome to it, episode 42 of the Average Joe Sports Show podcast. Gary Sharp, Bill Dolman, Elijah Herbal. It's Chris Schmitz. A little heart-shaped love there by one Gary Sharp. Find and like us on all the socials and on YouTube, the Average Joe Sports Show podcast. The AJ Sports Pod is where you find us on Twitter.
So, Elijah, please tell me that you don't talk Husker football all day, every day on this show. Do you do other things? Do you actually get outside of Nebraska on this show?
Yes, but we also understand what pays the bills around here.
You can't talk about Jalen Brunson, or you can't talk about LeBron James being sent someplace else next year, or maybe he can play with his son. Or not. You can't do that?
Well, as a Nuggets fan, I'm not sure if you saw, I was at that game two game winner, Jamal Murray over Anthony Davis, the fadeaway from mid-range. I was at that game. And we briefly talked about it. It comes down to time of year. We will talk about other things. Don't get me wrong.
Time of year, Elijah, you can talk about football 365 days a year in this place. Come on, can't you?
You really can. And we do that on Hail Varsity Radio.
I know. Do you ever get tired of that?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, you don't have to answer that question. You like to keep your job. I understand that. But
at the end of the day, do I get tired of talking about Husker football? No. There's a lot of other things I can be doing with my life. Are there some days where I go, man, what are we going to talk about today? I have no idea. Yes, absolutely. But Husker football is what pays the bills around here. And I got into this and I feel like I'm somewhat successful because I was one of the people growing up that wanted to consume all the Husker media that I could.
Yeah.
So I never get tired of it. I don't think our listeners ever get tired of it, but we do branch out sometimes and go talk other sport or other stories in sports because it's the Average Joe Sports Show. It's not the Average Joe Husker Show. So we branch out a little bit, but Husker football pays the bills in the state of Nebraska.
Okay, so that I know that, and I get that. And there isn't anybody I've ever talked to since I've been here. Well, you know, I grew up here, and then I came back here after many years being away. And it's the same thing. It's like, how in the world can the audience have an appetite for this every day? And what always intrigues me is that if the audience knows so much already and they are so well informed and they want to talk about it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, why are we here? Why are we here? They already know this stuff.
Well, that gets back to what I was saying earlier in terms of what my day looks like every single day. I'm searching through national sports stories and national sports podcasts and trying to find different angles and using what these people are talking about, name your podcast, but trying to find what these people are talking about and how does this relate back to Husker football and trying to find a new angle because, yeah, as you said, the people consume everything around here. And you got listeners that chime in our live stream that I go, how do you know the information that you do? I don't know. You must have inside sources. But yeah, people around here are very, very knowledgeable sports fans. They know football. You got to be able to find different angles for them to be able to tell the story in a different way, to be able to discuss the team in a different way. And in a market like this where everyone's talking about Husker football, every radio show, every podcast, you got hundreds of people that are fans hopping on doing podcasts. How do you differentiate yourself? To me, it starts off the air. Like the amount of work you have to do off the air and radio was one thing that surprised me first getting in. Mm-hmm. You had kind of laid it out. I was like, oh, okay. Like it's about being able to go and talk. No, you get into the industry. It's about the preparation that you do and the preparation of being able to tell the story differently, trying to find new angles on a story is what can set you apart from other radio shows. So that's where I think you kind of are able to find the angle that Husker fans aren't tired of. It comes from that work that I do, you know, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. before I show up at the radio station. What kind of preparation are you doing and what kind of different angle are you finding so that people hear something different on your show? That's still really relevant and still insightful.
Can you imagine doing anything else right now? I mean, is this what you want to do for until further notice?
Until further notice, yes, absolutely. It's one of those things that I go back to middle school conversations with my friends. I had two buddies, Jackson and Jackson, Dilbeck and Hilsbeck were their names, where they told me back in middle school and early high school, like, man, you should be on College Game Day. You should go to ESPN Radio. You could be like Kirk Herbstreit. And I remember back in the day being like, ah, nah, that's not me. But I was the kid that grew up. I was reading Stephen Sipple every single morning before I went to school. I was reading the sports pages. I was hopping on and watching every single highlight I could. And at nighttime, it's SportsCenter. What happened in sports today? Like, I didn't realize how unique that was for a 10-year-old to be doing until I kind of get off to high school, get off to college and talk with other people. And I go, okay, maybe I do have a little bit more of a background than these people do. Maybe Jackson and Jackson were right. Maybe I have a future in this. And then, as I said earlier, getting to college, didn't think radio was for me. I'm going to go do sports or video broadcast or video production, excuse me, broadcasting in some other fashion. And then, man, I tried this radio thing and maybe Jackson Jackson were right. Maybe I can do this. And you get into the industry and what I can say about it is it never quite feels like a job. There's obviously days everyone doesn't want to go into work, but there's never any days where I dread going into work. And talking with my roommates, talking with my friends, I understand I'm lucky in life in that regard, that whenever I show up to work every single day, it's fun, it's different, it's always exciting. And I'm going to try to stay in it as long as I can until they kick me out of radio or until there's extenuating circumstances that require me to go get a real job. Because I still don't feel like this is a real job, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
That it feels like an adventure and excitement every single day. Until something else forces me out, I'm going to try to stick with it, because where else can you find a job that work doesn't feel like work?
You know, I used to worry about that when I was young. You know, my guys I went to college with are, you know, lawyers and owning businesses, and they're making a lot more money. And you go, wow, you make that much money. I don't. But then you say, well, you know what I did last week? I was at the Super Bowl. Oh, I'd love to be at the Super Bowl. So there are some trade outs, right? Or, the kind of stuff we get to do makes up for a lot.
Or whenever you talk to the friends that are out doing those things that make more money, and they say, man, listening to your radio show in the afternoon is the only thing that gets me to the end of my workday. And you say, where else in life do people expect you and need you every single day? And a day without you doing your job is a day where people are disappointed and people are going to have a hard time at work. Like, you sit back and you say, the people that I say, man, should I have been a doctor? Should I have been a lawyer? The people that are going off and doing that, they're listening to you and you're a part of their day. Makes you sit back and appreciate what you have.
Yeah, and you're just happy they invite you to their lake house sometimes. That's the good thing, right? You're also finding out, and then we got to run here, you're also finding out how much work it takes to make the job sound easy.
Yes. It's not as simple as hopping on the air at 4 o'clock and talking for 2 hours. It's going to sound like a garbage radio show, and people aren't going to be entertained if you don't do the proper work behind it. So yeah, I'm on the air for 2 hours a day. My workday does not start at 4 and it does not end at 6. There is a lot more to the job, preparation. And one thing we haven't talked about here, relationships are also huge, mm-hmm. because in this industry, when it's so saturated, this market, you better have some quote unquote sources. You better have some people that know what they're talking about and get you some scoops that nobody else has. And that comes down to relationships. So, hey, even sometimes a Friday night going out and grabbing dinner and a couple of drinks can be considered work, because I'm doing it with somebody that, hey, they got some inside knowledge on the Husker football program. It comes down to relationships too. So there's so much that goes into a radio show outside of the radio show that people don't know about, people don't care about. It's 4 to 6 is what matters. Mm-hmm. But in order to be at your best from 4 to 6, there's so much more you have to do.
Another thing I think that's underrated and underappreciated is that, especially in a market like this that's pretty small and it's pretty tight and everybody knows each other, is that you have to be a decent human being. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the world who thinks that Chris Schmidt isn't one of the nicest, friendliest, most decent people in the business. And so you have to be decent, I think, to people, with people, for people, around people, because one day, Elijah, one day, one of those people that you've had a great relationship with is probably going to have to hire you, or you're going to have to go ask them for a job, or you're going to be competing with somebody else who may not be a decent human being. You're going to get the job because of that decency.
Yeah, that's you're laying out why this job it's more about relationships than I thought it would be. And I'm a people person too. So it's a part of the job that I think comes a little bit easier to me, but like, people that are coming out of school right now that are needing opportunities in the job, 15 years from now, they might be hiring. Just because you're above them in the totem pole now doesn't mean you're always going to be above them in the totem pole. So there's decency in that regard. There's decency to people who are giving you some inside scoops. There's being a decent person to people who are potential advertisers someday. Maybe they're not buying advertising now, but maybe they will be in 10 years. It is all coming down to relationships. And yeah, being a decent person, I think it comes somewhat easily. It's the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. But if you can follow that and just understand, hey, you might not need something now, but you might need something in 10 years. Very, very important to just take care of the people. And that's the rule I've always followed. Shout out to my parents for teaching me that. Treat others how you want to be treated. It's really that simple. If you can go out and do that every single day, the quote unquote, being a good person, being a decent person comes pretty easily. If you just say, put yourself in somebody else's shoes and ask yourself, how would I want to be treated? If you can live that out in how you live your life, the relationship side of things comes pretty easily.
You're not an old man. In fact, you're very young. But if you had an opportunity to tell your 18-year-old self, now that you've been with Schmitty and on the show for 5 years, both as a college student and as a full-time employee, what would you tell that 18-year-old about what he should know going forward?
It's something I have a passion for umpiring baseball. I love umpiring baseball. It started out whenever I was 15 years old, needing some money on the side, and I found a love for it. And one of the experienced umpires, Jake McHugh is his name, told me, it's an old saying, but you have to go get your 10,000 hours. Like, there's an old saying, you have to get to 10,000 hours doing something to become an expert. What do you want to do your 10,000 hours in? That is something that I wish 18-year-old me maybe not would have known better, but would have really embraced. That you want to be good at radio? Get your 10,000 hours in. You want to be good at baseball umpiring? Get your 10,000 hours in. Relationships are important, but at the end of the day, you can't replace hard work. And whenever you're young in the industry, you got to go out and outwork some people who have the jobs, because you're going into the industry trying to take some jobs, if we're being honest. Get your 10,000 hours in as early as you can. I'm still working towards 10,000, I think. I haven't done the math recently, but I think I'm still working towards 10,000 on-air hours. Find at 18, if you can, what you feel comfortable putting the hard work in. And I had to give it a go a couple times in video production and whatnot. And I had concerns when I was 18 years old. What am I going to do with my life? It's all about, at that age, finding what you're willing to put your 10,000 hours in. And then over the next couple of years, putting those 10,000 hours. And you can't replace the hard work. And it's about finding something that the hard work doesn't feel like hard work. And I feel like I've done something in that regard in radio. It doesn't feel like hard work when I'm putting in the work. But yeah, get to your 10,000 hours, become a quote unquote expert in it, and then keep on stacking more hours. You can never replace the hard work, the work behind the scenes.
Well, one of the reasons I went into journalism and broadcasting is because I wasn't any good at math. So I'm going to leave you to the 10,000 hour math equation and call this quits for now. Elijah, thanks a million for your time. I appreciate it.
John, really appreciate you having me on. It's been an honor.
Absolutely. Elijah Herbol is the producer and co-host of Hail Varsity Radio, 4 to 6 in the afternoons, and then some podcasting stuff on Saturday mornings and late at night and in the mornings and whatever else it is to whatever he has to do to get the job done. And tip of the hat to your pal Chris Schmidt as well. So thanks.
Thank you, John. One of the best professors out there.
I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media.